I'm going to ask you to turn to Acts chapter 11, please. Acts and chapter 11. And we'll break in at the reading at verse 19. Acts chapter 11 and verse 19. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them, which were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who, when they were come to Antioch, spoke unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, and he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they should cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people were added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarshish to seek Saul. And when he had found him and brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that for a whole year they assembled themselves together with the church and much people, and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. And God will bless to us the reading of his word. Let's speak then for a few moments before we take our lunch to the forming of an assembly. How is a New Testament assembly formed? The book of Acts is really a beautiful book. It's really a book of transition. If in the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you have 30 years of the life of Christ, the book of Acts gives us 30 years of the life of Christ in heaven working with the church on earth. So you've got approximately 30 years. The Lord Jesus is going to teach us in chapter 1 and verse 8 of the book of Acts is really the outline of what the book of Acts is going to be. There was going to be the establishment of the work in Jerusalem and Judea. That was going to take about 5 years. There was going to be the enlargement of the work, chapters 8 to 12, which would be about 10 years. And then there was going to be the extension of the work to the four corners of the earth and Paul's three missionary journeys. But I want you to notice again how the Spirit of God is going to work in the book of Acts. There is going to be the expansion geographically. It was never God's intention that all the Christians would stay in Jerusalem. Maybe that's one of the reasons why there was persecution. And the persecution, because of the persecution, the believers were scattered. And as they were scattered, they carried with them the gospel of the grace of God. So there was an expansion that was going to be geographic. There was going to be an expansion numerically. Just think. 120 in the upper room in chapter 1. In chapter 2, 3,000 added. 3,120 now. When you come to chapter 4, 5,000 added. When you come to chapter 5, multitudes, both of men and women. And so you've got the expansion of the work, not only geographically, but the expansion of the work numerically. But you've got the expansion of the work socially. When you come to chapter 16, you'll appreciate that in Philippi, there was Lydia, a businesswoman. God saves her. You remember in that middle section of chapter 16, there's the demon-possessed woman who was following Paul and Silas. These men show unto us the way of salvation. It's possible that she got saved. Timothy, at the beginning of the chapter, saved as a child. The Philippian jailer, a hardened man. And so what Paul is teaching us, the Spirit of God is teaching me in Acts chapter 16, is the truth of 1 Timothy 2:4, God, who out of all people are all men to be saved. So you've got the expansion of the work of God. But I thought I might just try to help you for a few moments here in relation to the forming of an assembly. I mentioned to you earlier this morning that men start meetings, but it takes God to plant assemblies. And really, Acts chapter 11 is a very, very beautiful picture of how a New Testament assembly can be formed. First of all, there's the need of the preaching of the gospel, or the preaching of the word. You get that in verses 19 and verse 20. Mr. Vine says in his New Testament Word Dictionary of verse 19, the word preaching is the general testimony of their lives. In other words, here were the believers that were scattered by persecution, and on the workplace, they so lived Christ that their lives spoke the gospel. But then a different word is used for preaching in verse 20. This is the public herald of the gospel. Now, let me say to you good Christians here in Edmonton, there is nothing to replace the public preaching of the gospel. Did you get that? There is nothing to replace the public preaching of the gospel. A man gifted by God behind the pulpit with an open word of God and the Spirit of God moving in the conviction of sin. Don't ever stop your gospel meeting. Now, you might change it from 7 o'clock to 6 o'clock, or you might change it from 7 o'clock till 4 o'clock, whatever the case may be, as to when the people can come. But dear Christians, don't stop the gospel meeting. It is generally seen, sad to say, that when assemblies stop their gospel meeting, the assembly starts to decrease and there's no more advancement. So I just encourage you, keep at the preaching of the gospel. We're not told who was responsible. Isn't that interesting in Acts 11? We're not told who was responsible. Do you know why? Because the vessel that God uses is not important. It's the preaching of the gospel that's important. It's the unfolding of the word of God that's important. The man behind it is not important. I'll touch on that on just a little bit later. Let me quote Mr. David Alves Sr. from PV Mexico. He said this, quoted in Truth and Tidings, "The formation of assemblies in the New Testament seems to be always connected with the initial blessing in the gospel." Did you get that? The formation of assemblies in the New Testament seems to always be connected with initial blessing in the gospel. That's a quote unquote. But then he goes on to say this. Now that would be positive. But then David Elves, whom I'm sure we all respect for his work there in Mexico, says this negatively. "Assemblies, as far as I can gather from the New Testament, were never the result of disgruntled or rebellious breakaways, nor even a holier-than-thou groups that were uncomfortable in the existing assembly." Now, that's from a man I think we can respect for the work he's done in Mexico. Positively, assemblies are formed by the means of the preaching of the gospel. That is how it all commences. In a negative way, it is not started by, "Well, I don't agree with what the elders are doing in Edmonton. I'm not happy because I wasn't invited on to the elderhood. So I'm going to get a little group, and I'm going to sow discord amongst the people of God, and I'm going to now take 10 or 20 or 30, and I'm going to bring them over on my side." A New Testament assembly was never formed by that in the New Testament scriptures. So the first principle, as far as forming an assembly is concerned, is the preaching of the gospel. In verse 21, you've got the pleasure of the Lord. "The hand of the Lord was with them. A great number believed and turned unto the Lord." I'm reminded, believers, of a former day. I've got to take you back to the book of Ezra, particularly chapter 8. You remember that after the nation of Israel had been in Babylonian captivity for 70 years, that Cyrus the Gentile allowed them permission to go back up to Jerusalem. There was the first contingent, of course, under Zerubbabel and Joshua, and Ezra was going to take the second contingent up. But you remember that he stops at the river, and this is what he says. He said, "I sought of the Lord a right way for us and for our little ones." I thought, how precious. Ezra, the priestly man. Ezra, the godly man. He was looking beyond his own generation. And he was thinking to himself, what are we leaving now to the next generation? I speak to my own age group. Brothers and sisters, you and I will either leave to the next generation spiritual convictions or spiritual confusion. And if it's spiritual convictions, we're going to be leaving them the truth of the Word of God. If it's spiritual confusion, it's only what I think. It's only what you think. It's only men's ideas that are incorporated into the truth of the Word of God. All men who have been used of God in the forming of assemblies know something of the disappointment of being in areas and preaching the gospel and not enough individuals to form an assembly. What do you do? Well, you've only got to go on because you can only work with what God gives you. But you see, here was the pleasure of the Lord. You remember Paul, in some of the occasions, there were times in Acts 17 where likely there were names written in heaven because of his preaching, but there wasn't enough to form an assembly. And chapter 18 opens with his work going to Corinth. And I wonder, as he walked from Athens to Corinth, probably about 40 miles, if in the back of his mind he's thinking, I wonder if Corinth will produce just what Athens produced. Souls that are saved, but not enough souls to form an assembly. So you've got the pleasure of the Lord. I'm reminded of the words of the psalmist, Psalm 127. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. So in the forming of the assembly, we want the preaching of the gospel and we want the pleasure of the Lord. But in verse 22, there is progress that was heard. While this great movement in Antioch was taking place, this was 300 miles north of Jerusalem. I don't think, you can correct me later, I don't think they had Facebook back then, whatever Facebook is, I don't know anything about it. I don't think they had texting, and they didn't have long distance dialing. But you see, news of what was happening north in Antioch had traveled all the way down to Jerusalem. Progress was heard. Any work that is done in a form of silence or a form of secrecy must be viewed with suspicion. Any work that is done in a form of silence or suspicion, we're not telling anybody what's happening, must be viewed with a measure of suspicion. What greater announcement could be made in an assembly prayer meeting than progress that we have heard? It's now been reported, whether it was 10 miles away or 1,000 miles away, that two souls have just professed to be saved. What tremendous encouragement to the assembly. What is it rising, as it were, the very temperature of the assembly? And so here we have the progress that is heard. Lives have been changed. Changed and conformed to the truth of the Word of God. So progress was heard. But in verses 23 and 24, you've got a partnership that was encouraged. there is ever a danger in new work that the worker wants the work named after him. This is my work. Don't come too close and sing, "This is my work." Okay, don't come too close. No, this is my work. This will be attached to my name. So when it's announced that a new assembly has been formed and it's announced in Edmonton, everybody know, well, it was Jack Gould who did it. Oh, nonsense. You see, partnership was encouraged. A partnership between existing assemblies in Jerusalem and a new work in Antioch that was some now 300 miles to the distant north. But how is partnership encouraged? Partnership is encouraged by communication. Maybe one of the elders in the assembly phoning up the worker or phoning up, how is the work going? Is there anything specifically that we in Edmonton can be praying for? Have lives been changed? Are there difficulties? So there would be the partnership encouraged because of prayers. Now again, the existing assemblies that are already there in relation to new work should do all they can to foster fellowship with the new work. That might mean going down there for the weekend. It might mean the elders financially helping out the new work to pay for a rented building, to pay for hymn books, or whatever the case may be. So you see, partnership is now going to be encouraged. But partnership was encouraged not so much by prayer, not so much by a financial gift. It was encouraged by sending one man. The Jerusalem assembly looked over the company, said, "There's the man. There's the man. Who are we going to send?" "We're going to send Barnabas." Now, Barnabas has already proved himself. The Spirit of God tells us in the passage that the qualifications that this man had, verse 24, a good man, a righteous man, full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. In other words, the Jerusalem assembly had this confidence that when Barnabas goes up to Antioch and when he returns, he's going to give us an accurate account. There's not going to be jealousy in the part of Barnabas because he wasn't part of it. There's not going to be jealousy in the part of Barnabas because he wasn't invited up to preach. Oh, no. Barnabas was a good man, a righteous man, and he was going to give an accurate report. It would appear from verse 24 that Barnabas helped them particularly with the gospel. I would judge from what happened, and we're going to look in at this in just a moment, that Barnabas, the spiritual man that he was, he recognized his limitations. All of us have limitations. There are men that are sound in the gospel, but they might not have teaching ability. And there are men that have teaching ability, but they might not have the gift of evangelism. But all of these men and gifts, they must work together. And so you've got here Barnabas, and it appears that his work is primarily in the gospel, and his work is primarily in encouragement, but he's lacking a teaching ministry. So you've got partnership encouraged. But in verse 23, you've got a pattern to follow. Notice he says this, he encouraged them to cleave unto the brethren. Oh, that's not what your Bible says. It doesn't say he encouraged them to cleave unto the traditions of the assembly. And of course, there are good and positive traditions as well as negative. No. He says, here's this good man. He encouraged them to cleave unto the Lord. In other words, this wasn't going to be now the formation of a new assembly that was going to follow the ideas of a man. Was not Barnabas in the Jerusalem church? Is not that where the first pattern was given? Acts chapter 2, verses 42 and 43. And so the new assembly in Antioch that was going to be formed was going to be formed after the pattern that was first given in Acts chapter 2. Just in passing. God's never altered the pattern. Make sure you and I don't. God's never added to the pattern of Acts chapter 2. Make sure you and I don't. And so there was going to be a pattern that was going to be followed. There was going to be the continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, a pattern to follow. But in verses 25 and 26, there is going to be something maybe that each of us struggle with, and that is there's going to be patience in the work. If there is one thing that the flesh hates, it's waiting on God. You cannot push ahead a work that's going to be of God. Well, you can push individuals into profession. You can push individuals into being baptized. You can coerce people into coming into the assembly, but they're not going to last. It's going to take patience in the work. And one of the outstanding features of Barnabas is patience. He encouraged them in the Lord. He taught them in the gospel. He encouraged them. But he knew his limitations. And he says to himself, I know where there's a man that'll be most helpful to the present work. Saul of Tarsus. It says there in verse 25, Barnabas went to seek Saul. Now that didn't take too much to read, did it? You know what that involved? It involved a walk of 130 miles, one way. Now, brethren and sisters, would you and I set out, this was now before air-conditioned cars and heated cars, because this is Edmonton in March. This is before WestJet or Air Canada. They had to walk. Would you and I walk 131 miles one way to get the right man for the work that was required? Well, see, only a spiritual man would do that. Only this man, Barnabas, full of the Holy Ghost and a just man and a righteous man, would do it. But I want to take you a step further. That word seek is only found twice in the New Testament. It's found again in, just let me get it here. Yes, here it is. Luke chapter 2 and verse 44. Do you remember that after Mary and Joseph had taken the Lord Jesus up to the temple, he was 12 years of age? That they left, they thought he was amongst the kinfolk, because there would have been lots traveling at Passover time. And when they found out that he wasn't with them, it says they sought him. Do you get the intensity of the word? The same intensity that a parent seeks after a lost child is the same intensity that Barnabas is seeking after Saul. He's the right man for the job. He's got the spiritual credentials. And they sat then, these gifted men, a whole year, and they taught the assembly. I wonder if the assembly in Edmonton could stand a year of teaching. Well, I just leave that with you. I want you to notice again, new converts require teaching. New converts require teaching. Dear elders, this will come out again tomorrow afternoon. Take time to teach new believers. It is a very timely, it is a very costly, It takes hours and hours and hours. But time spent in teaching believers before they come into the assembly will pay off unbelievable dividends throughout the rest of their life and throughout the rest of assembly life as well. A wonderful year now has come and gone. Possibly I want you to notice that these men did not reside in Antioch as, well, we would say Paul the senior pastor and Barnabas the junior pastor. Oh no, these men did a work for God. And when their work was completed, they then moved on into new territory, the forming of an assembly. So a company of believers, publicly and collectively bowing to the Lordship of Christ, they now desire to express this in the breaking of bread. There will be a clearly set mark between those within the fellowship and those without the fellowship. And in a very unique way, God delights to take for a possession and form that company into an entity called Church of God. So you've got then the forming of an assembly. May God bless his word.